In the action, her features caught slantwise the rays of the strongly coloured sun, which made transparencies of her eyelids and nostrils and set fire on her lips. When she plodded on in the shade of the hedge, silently thinking, she had the hard, half-apathetic expression of one who deems anything possible at the hands of time and chance, except, perhaps, fair play. The first phase was the work of nature, the second probably of civilization. That the man and woman were husband and wife, and the parents of the girl in arms, there could be little doubt. No other than such relationship would have accounted for the atmosphere of stale familiarity, which the trio carried along with them like a nimbus as they moved down the road. The wife mostly kept her eyes fixed ahead, though with little interest, the scene, for that matter, being one that might have been matched at almost any spot in any county in England at this time of the year. A road neither straight nor crooked, neither level nor hilly, bordered by hedges, trees, and other vegetation, which had entered the blackened green stage of colour that the doomed leaves pass through on their way to dingy and yellow and red. The grassy margin of the bank and the nearest hedgerow boughs were powdered by the dust that had been stirred over them by hasty vehicles. The same dust, as it lay on the road, deadening their footfalls like a carpet. And this, with the aforesaid total absence of conversation, allowed every extraneous sound to be heard. For a long time there was none, beyond the voice of a weak bird singing a trite old evening song that might doubtless have been heard on the hill at the same hour, and with the selfsame trills, quavers, and breves at any sunset of that season for centuries untold. But as they approached the village, sundry distant shouts and rattles reached their ears from some elevated spot in that direction, as yet screened from view by foliage. When the outlying houses of Weydon Priors could just be descried, the family group was met by a turnip hoer, with his hoe on his shoulder and his dinner bag suspended from it. The reader promptly glanced up. "Any trade doing here?" he asked phlegmatically, designating the village in his van by a wave of the broadsheet. And thinking the labourer didn't understand him, he added, "Anything in the hay trussing line?" The turnip hoer had already begun shaking his head.
"Why, save the man. What wisdom's in him that I should come to Weydon for a job of that sort this time of year?"
"Then, is there any house to let? A little small new cottage just a-builded or such like?" asked the other.
The pessimist still maintained a negative.
"Pulling down is more the nature of Weydon. There were 5 houses cleared away last year and 3 this, and the folk nowhere to go. No, not so much as a thatched hurdle. That's the way of Weydon Priors."
The hay trusser, which he obviously was, nodded with some superciliousness. Looking towards the village, he continued,
"There is something going on here, however, is there not?"
"Aye, 'tis fair day. Though what you hear now is little more than the clatter and scurry of getting away the money of children and fools, for the real business is done earlier than this. I've been working within sound art all day, but I didn't go up. Not I. 'Twas no business of mine."
The trusser and his family proceeded on their way, and soon entered the fair field, which showed standing places and pens where many hundreds of horses and sheep had been exhibited and sold in the forenoon, but were now, in great part, taken away. At present, as their informant had observed, but little real business remained on hand, the chief being the sale by auction of a few inferior animals that could not otherwise be disposed of, and had been absolutely refused by the better class of traders, who came and went early. Yet the crowd was denser now than during the morning hours. The frivolous